All right, welcome, Rob LeBritz, episode 4 of the Cutline Podcast. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you for having me on. I look forward to our conversation.
You're welcome. So you obviously, you've had plenty of success in golf, long run as a club pro. You've also played in 8 PGA championships, which is an astounding number. Been low club pro twice. I guess you've made most of your life as a club pro. What about that job do you like best?
Oh, the job. I love the job. I mean, the job keeps me surrounded by golf constantly. So, you know, from coaching to servicing our members to, you know, to instruction to just making this golf club, you know, the number one golf club sort of on the Eastern Seaboard, which I think we've got the greatest facility, 7 acres of short game, you know, indoor outdoor teaching facility year round and an 18-hole Gary Player signature track. That's just awesome. The great food and wine. I love every aspect of this game and the job. I don't ever really feel like I'm working, but now I do so many things now that I'm a Champions Tour member, I'll actually get to, you know, put a couple of those things, not to the side totally, but I'll take a little bit of time away from those buckets and kind of put it into my golf game, which will be exciting to see.
Glen Arbor sounds like my kind of playground. I like that. I'll have to venture over there at some point.
That's it. Is a great awesome track. It is an awesome place.
So obviously the way club pros qualify for the PGA Championship is the PGA Professional National Championship. Sound kind of similar, but they're not. What do you love most about that event? Obviously you had that epic hole out.
Oh yeah. So the event itself, you know, being a proud PGA member, I mean, that's our national champ, you know, the 20 guys, there's 333 people or 332 people that start the field, you know, and of those 330 that have qualified for the event, you know, 20 of them make it to the grand stage in golf, which is one of our 4 majors, PGA Championship. You know, that's been a springboard for my career. It's always been, you know, sort of like my major that I'm getting ready for, my master's, so to speak. You know, if you play well in that and you win it, you get 6 PGA Tour exemptions. And if you finish in that top 20, you get to play in the PGA Championship. So, and then there's other good things that come with playing. There's PGA Cup matches. There's getting into stages of Q school. So there's a lot of good things that come out of that event. It's a 4-round event that can change your life. So, but to be able to represent the 28,000 of us and do it so many times and make it to that PGA Championship 8 times, it makes me very proud. And I hope that I'm holding up the PGA banner pretty high for the rest of people to take a look at so they can be inspired to do the same thing.
Do you plan on continuing to play that event?
So that's a good question. You know, I know that as I won the Champions Tour Q School, when I teed up in that third week in February, my classification changes from an A4 director of golf at a golf club to an A3 tour player. You know, so I look forward to paving the way for other PGA professionals to do this. Hopefully in the PGA of America, they understand that, you know, even though I'll be playing the Champions Tour, I'll also still be at my club, you know, representing the PGA of America as a director of golf when I'm there for the week. And I'll be, you know, going to my staff meetings and coaching golfers and taking care of my members and, you know, spreading the word of golf like I do when I'm the director of golf there. The only thing it's going to be is just a few more weeks away from the club. So, you know, I'm looking forward to definitely doing that, representing Glen Arbor to the highest of my ability.
I know they had to change some of the rules for that event. I guess they're calling it the Omar Uresti rule about tour players basically playing in that event. What was your thought about that when that came about?
Well, personally speaking, I mean, I like Omar. I love Omar. I think he's a great competitor and he's only got me better. We compete against each other all the time. He's been winning a lot of things. We played the first round in Q school, you know, and the finals of Q school. And Omar's a great competitor and he's a great golfer. So, the Omar rule where he played a lot of tournaments, he played on tour for a lot of years and kept paying his dues to become, I think he was foreseeing sort of, you know, what he wanted to do. And maybe he knew he wasn't going to be competitive in his late 40s. I mean, I don't know what goes through Omar's mind. He's a great, great player. I do appreciate the PGA trying to protect its working members. You know, I can understand what they're trying to do there, but you know, there's a lot of PGA professionals out there that are very good players and, you know, the highest playing level. And I just want to make sure that the PGA of America, you know, still welcomes us to do that because, you know, I'm a proud PGA of America member and I'm a very good player. So I want to represent the PGA of America every time I go out there and compete in any event that I play in. And I hope that events aren't taken away from me because I'm a good player. I would hope that I can still compete in some events, but you know, only time will tell, and we'll see what the PGA of America has to say. But as far as the Omar rule, I just think playing with better players gets you to be better. So, you know, I'm in favor of playing with better players, but I'm also an understanding guy when it comes to the PGA of America, protecting the working members of the association, but in what capacity? I mean, there's so many gray areas in this area. It's one of those things that we could sit here and talk about for hours, but you know, PGA of America will do the right thing like they always do. And we'll move on. But I wish Omar the best. I know I'll see him out there competing, and I look forward to the next time we play together.
You had a big summer leading up to Q School. I won the Mass Open, which I hope I play someday. Added the Rhode Island Open, the Met Professional Championship, and the Westchester Open in your own backyard. How much confidence did that give you heading into the fall?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can win events, it gives me a lot of confidence. You know, most of those events were three-round events. So, you know, you're always adding that extra round in the bigger events. But yeah, anytime you can win a tournament, especially against the younger guys, you know, it gives you a boost of confidence to take your game and keep competing. And it also, for me, and I know I'm working on the right things, I'm thinking properly and able to close the deals, so to speak. So I know I'm working on the right things. My body feels great and, you know, ready to take it to the next level.
I feel like a lot of guys, you know, you get club champions at their club and they'll start talking about Champions Tour when they turn 50. Oh, if I had all the time in the world to practice, how good would I get? When did the Champions Tour first enter your mind to become a realistic goal?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I left playing the Canadian Tour. I played the Canadian Tour for 2 years in 2004 and 2005. And when I left playing the Canadian Tour, I took the job at Glen Arbor as the director of golf. And, you know, in that time, I made it a pledge to myself that my son Matthias was going to be 18 when I turned 50. So I wanted to make sure that my body and my golf game stayed in great shape when I was 50 so I could give it a run. So I guess it started about in 2005. That's when I really started, you know, upping the workouts, you know, upping the practice time and just really envisioning sort of this happening, you know, over those years. So I guess more than a decade of visualization will get you your spot, you know? So I guess in 2005, really, to answer your question.
The Champions Tour, a lot of people don't know this. It's actually the hardest tour to qualify for, even harder than the PGA Tour. They only give out five cards. Did that change your mindset? And did it give you an even bigger sense of accomplishment?
No, you know, it didn't. I don't look at things as hard or easy. I just look at them as goals. You know, I don't want to categorize things. I just want to go about my business and see what can happen. And you kind of, you know, you weigh yourself by how you're doing in your tournaments. You know, I started shooting some great numbers the last few years and feeling really comfortable out in major championships. So, you know, I didn't ever doubt myself. And if any doubt kind of creeped in, I tried to, you know, push it out of there and cover it with positive thoughts, because, you know, negative thoughts can outweigh your positive thoughts tremendously. So anytime that happens, I just visualize myself, you know, getting it done and practicing hard. And every time you're hitting shots, you're thinking about it, what it would feel like, the phone calls you'd make. And then, you know, and you know, did some praying to the man upstairs too. And he is a very powerful, powerful being. So, you know, I'm sure that that helped as well.
I know we all saw that moment, that great video after you finished your round and knew you were going to the Champions Tour. What's the first thing that ran through your mind, and what do you remember about that day? What makes it so special?
I remember the day. I remember the night before the day. I remember being like so nervous, like the most nervous you've been, most nervous I've been, and I've been pretty nervous. I've hit the first ball of major championships off the first tee. I've been very nervous, but that night before and the day of, I was so nervous. My stomach was, I don't think there were butterflies in my stomach. They were more like jetliners, and they were smashing into all my intestines. And, you know, so, you know, I talked to a lot of people that I respect, and a lot of people that my paths have crossed that I feel that could either help me or that I just respected, and got some great advice from everybody. You know, Matthias, my son, said some great things to me before I teed off. And then you know, to play the round, I was nervous around all the shots, you know, and, but, you know, you can perform under nervousness. It doesn't mean you're going to perform poorly. It means you're in a heightened state. But when I finished 18, the first thing that went through my mind was, oh my goodness, we just qualified for the Champions Tour. And then I looked over and I saw all the people that were watching us and I said, oh my goodness, I just qualified for the Champions Tour. And then I saw a friend of mine. We had a bunch of people out there kind of following us. I saw a friend of mine sort of, and you know, he came over and gave me a hug and lifted me up in the air and he said the word sacrifice to me. And when he said the word sacrifice, it was just, you know, listen, I'm in a very sort of, how do I say it? It's a sport that's, you know, selfish. It's a selfish sport. It's all about what you're doing on the golf course, what you're doing. But, you know, what happens is, you know, when he said sacrifice, you know, I've made it a point to play at a very high level or try to, and my family takes a big brunt of that. So when he said that, I broke down and immediately wanted to call my wife because I've been envisioning that spot, you know, or that moment for so long that it was just a big relief. I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I tried to do the best I could without falling down on the ground and putting my thumb in my mouth and winding up in a fetal position. So it was just, a culmination of many years of hard work and envisioning it and stress relief once it happened. So that moment was one I'll never forget. And I still get choked up just watching. I can't watch the video too much because I get choked up every time. So, you know, it's just my raw emotion coming out. And, you know, I was a little nervous in the beginning that I was crying, and I've gotten so much outreach from people saying it's so great to see the emotion come out that I'm glad it did. So if I can inspire people and it's okay to show your emotions, then I guess that's why it was supposed to be there.
I do love that. I don't like that some of these golfers sort of try to become robots. I think it just sort of, I don't know, goes against what human beings are meant to do.
Well, you know, I agree with that, but on the other side of it, you know, when you're playing out there and, you know, you say the robotic thing, guys are really trying to just stay level. You know, you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. The more level you can stay, the more sort of utopia you sort of feel out there with your emotions going up and down. So I think that sort of just transfers into guys' lives and gals' lives that are out there for so long. You know, they just try to stay very level. It's not that we're boring. We just don't like a lot of waves. So, but I understand the robotic thing, but to defend the robotic thing, it's more of a levelness that you try to stay in when you're competing out there. So hopefully that gives you some understanding of you know, what it's supposed to feel like.
Obviously you've played in your share of big events and you're only going to play in more big events coming up. Is there a memory that stands out from the eight major championships appearances is crazy. Is there something that stands out?
Yeah. I mean, hitting the first tee ball a few times on the first tee and the first guy to tee off kind of stood out and, you know, I've played some great practice rounds and there was one tournament that in 2013, I was going to actually ask my wife on the first tee to marry me to make it sort of memorable. I asked her a year earlier. And then our daughter was born after I missed the cut at Oak Hill in 2013, 3 days after we left. So that's probably the most thing that I remember from the major championships, you know, the most memorable experience. Yeah.
Were you almost glad to miss the cut that week? You would have been cutting it close if you made the cut.
Yeah, it was. It's true. I mean, everything happens for a reason. And we went straight to the Cape Cod for a few days just to kind of unwind. And we don't even live in the Cape. We live in New York. And she was born out in the Cape. My wife went into labor that night. So it was pretty interesting. And we didn't have our doctors. We didn't have anything. But yeah, interesting week to say the least.
Yeah, we spend a fair bit of time down the Cape in the summer. And it's the best.
It is. You feel like you feel like all your problems are just gone away. It's really awesome. Oh, big shout out to New Seabury too, by the way. Because that's our place where we go to. And I just love that beach bar. Oh my goodness. The beach bar is so great.
It is. It's a good spot.
Oh yeah.
So let's say you're putting your clubs away. You're not going to the club. What are you doing? What's your favorite thing outside of golf?
I like exercise a lot. I like food. Love my family. You know, I've been talking to God a lot lately. So I like to pray. I've been doing that more and more. That's becoming a bigger and bigger thing in my life over the past, you know, at least past, you know, 3 or 4 months. It's been incredible. I love to fish. You know, I love taking my family on vacations and traveling. And, you know, it's funny because I don't like to take days off from golf. So anytime that my wife says, okay, we're going on vacation. She says, okay, you're not taking your clubs, right? I usually sneak a club or two in the bag, whatever I have to. But yeah, I hope I answered your question. Sometimes yeah. I have a tendency to ramble.
No, that answers it. Last one, we'll get you out of here. I know I've taken up a bunch of your time.
All good.
What are you most looking forward to next year?
Ooh, another good question. You got good questions, Peter. Nice. Yeah, actually just getting out there and competing and seeing the gentlemen that paved the way for me to follow the love of the game, all the champions that are out there already, from Bernard Langer to Phil Mickelson to, you know, Lee Trevino, Fred Couples. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all the Jerry Kellys, the great guys that are out there that have just paved the way. I cannot wait to get on the same battlefield, asking questions. Hopefully they don't find me too annoying, and just, you know, get out there and just live the dream and work on my game. I to be able to just go out there and compete on the over 50 grandest stage, man. Whew, I am just a excited individual, to say the least.
That's the one thing I like about this job. It's kind of my job to bother people and figure stuff out and try and learn stuff. It's fun. I like having it. It's used to do that.
Awesome. That's awesome.
All right, Rob, I won't keep you. Thank you so much for joining me, and best of luck going forward.
Peter, thanks so much. Anytime you want to chat golf, just give me a call and we can do it. Look forward to it.
Awesome.